Hey, this is Stephanie from Color Me In Podcast. This is the third time I've tried to do the introduction. You're listening to the second episode, which is super cool. I misspoke the first episode and I said artists. I will be bringing artists. I'm really just bringing in people that I think are cool and worth getting to know. And they will be talking about 10 or so. Santiago will be talking about more than 10, which is cool. Who are you?
Yeah.
I just introduced you.
I am Santiago Ramones. I am a composer, producer, songwriter, performer. I think there might be a different word in there that I associate with my things, but yeah.
You do everything.
Do
all the things.
Composer, I think, is the main thing.
Right on. I mean, you are going to school for that, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is a new section I'm starting on the podcast. I forgot to do it last time because I got nervous. Classic Stephanie move. I'm just going to be mentioning and slowly talking about an album that I've been bumping a lot lately,
or a band. Yeah.
And you're more than welcome to chime in or I have no idea who this is, which is cool. I really love stoner metal. It's my favorite type of metal, which is super niche. And we talked about genres in the podcast we recorded with you, which will be out after this podcast. But I love stoner metal. And do you know who Sleep is?
I don't.
They're a stoner metal band, like the stoner metal band. Al Cisneros, who I believe sings and also plays bass, started a side project called OM, just O-M. And it's kind of like Sleep. It's stoner metal, but it's more like symphonic and grandiose. Mm. And like it kind of experiments with like the Middle Eastern tonality and like the singing. And I've just been bumping that. I think the song is called, let me Google it. Yeah. I actually don't. I'm so bad with band names, but, like, if I look up the – I'm not band names, like, just titles in general. But if I look up the album art, I know what it is.
Yeah, that's a weird thing that, like, combination of shapes and colors.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't even realize what it is. The song State of Non-Return is bliss. It's just, like, really it's repetitive, but it's, like, a cool kind of repetitive. And it's
cool.
They call it stoner metal for a reason. Mm. You can smoke out to it.
Yeah.
I don't smoke.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Can I say some stuff that I've been listening to lately?
You can say whatever you want. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought you were asking if you can curse.
No.
Have you met me?
But like, I've been listening to Merzbow.
I don't know who that is.
Merzbow, if you say you like noise, Merzbow is literally noise.
Okay, right on.
So
Jackson, if you're listening, check them out together.
Yeah, because it is, it's literally noise.
Sweet. have you listened to, I'm about to butcher this because I don't speak German, but it's like Einstürzen die Neubauten. I just call them Neubauten.
Probably not.
That's so funny. Have you ever listened to this weird obscure German band? Okay, they use, like, scraps of metal and, like, pans and stuff to make music. But, it's in addition to, like, using, like, drums and, like, guitars. And at certain points, the singer, like, neighs like a horse. It's really interesting.
That is pretty interesting.
I think you'd like them. I don't know what they're saying half the time because I don't speak German, but it adds to kind of. It was, like, during the Berlin era or, like, the fall of the Berlin Wall. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, very, like, tear down the wall. We're angry.
Yeah.
It's very punk.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, like, I think you'd dig it.
Sure. Yeah.
Things. What are your things?
So I was wondering if I should like go in like best to least inspirational or just like in reverse order. I don't know.
Oh, you have an order of like how inspirational they are?
Well, I don't know. It's just like
I
made the list and I was like, definitely this, definitely this. And then as I got like farther down, I was like, all right, maybe this.
Mm.
But if I include this, I might have to include.
You're talking about that.
Yeah. So I got like looser near the end of it. Mm. And so the things that are clearly important to me are the ones that are like that came out first.
Okay.
And so I guess I should say the less crucial things first.
Whatever you feel more comfortable with.
Okay. So I guess I'll start with Futurama.
Just the show?
The entire
what?
Show.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I
don't know why, but that I would never expected that.
So if you know me at all, you know that I...
Apparently I don't.
No, it's fine. I love science fiction.
Okay, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah. Science fiction is my jam. And the thing about Futurama is that it takes all of the tropes of science fiction, but does it in a Matt Groening show. Okay. So
satire? Same, is that kind of satirical or no?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. So in my brain, the same creators of The Simpsons.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I loop it with like South Park and Simpsons.
Yeah,
yeah. And stuff.
But so pretty much.
I have a controversial opinion about South Park. Oops.
But Futurama does smart comedy, like
Big Bang Theory.
No. Not
that
at all.
That was a joke. That was a joke, guys. Please don't come kill me.
But the way that Futurama does comedy, like every single line in the show is either a joke or a setup to a joke.
Okay.
Like.
So you have to like be really like.
It. Well, yeah. No, but it's just constantly.
Okay.
Like every single line is just like bam, 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 funny, funny, funny. And like, I don't know how they wrote so many seasons of this and just have so many good jokes in Futurama, but it's just like every single thing is just like joke, 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 joke. Right. It's so good. And the things in the background or in the environment are also jokes. And so it's just like crammed with like science fiction references and jokes and like satire and everything, and it's just jam-packed with nerdiness.
Right.
So probably my favorite show still, although another on this list will be contending with that, but like Futurama is sort of a nostalgic thing with my brothers and I, in that we have this thing where we just quote things constantly with each other and at each other. And like, we're also purists. Like, you have to quote it correctly.
Gotcha.
And if someone does it wrong, we'll like say it correctly back. Like, and we'll be like, oh yeah, down. I was like, yeah, like one word off, darn.
Oh no. But like, oh man, I'd be roasted in your family because I always like say things like incorrectly, but like I get to the point. I'm like, you know,
yeah, yeah. But like, we just have this thing that where we're just constantly trying to quote either SpongeBob or Futurama at each other, just
SpongeBob.
Constantly.
Yeah. SpongeBob has become sort of normie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Futurama will be the next thing.
I hope so, but like. It's some of the stuff is like really smart, but also sometimes really dumb. Like so, and we'll just insert these quotes in like everyday conversation. And so like if we walk outside, it's super hot. It's like, it's hot. The butter in my pocket is melting.
Oh my God.
Which is something that Fry said in an episode, but it's like.
Can you name which episode number? Title of the episode? At what time? Fake fans on Tiago
I can't remember the title of the episode, but it was an episode with nope, I'm getting confused. Never mind.
It's okay. Maybe she's pulling your leg.
Right. But yeah, Futurama is a great thing, both filled with nostalgia, but
right
really smart jokes. Still holds up.
Right on.
And
is it still making?
No, okay. it ended, which is fine. Things need to end sometimes,
ooh,
and that's good.
At Doctor Who.
Yeah, definitely. At freaking any other TV show that's going on too long.
Except for SpongeBob.
SpongeBob needs to end.
Santiago.
Just let it die.
No.
Just
no,
let
Santiago,
it die.
How
it's
dare
not
you?
Good anymore.
No, you're right. It stopped being good after a time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
Okay. So, Futurama, my heart goes out to you.
You said something. You said also something.
Yes.
Oh, the next thing. Gotcha.
Yes. So, I guess the... Well, no. I'll just go into this TV show. Avatar The Last Airbender.
Right on.
But I also have it paired with Whisper of the Heart, a Studio Ghibli movie.
So I just started watching. I used to work overnights, and I would watch movies like after I would finish everything that I needed to, or like while I was doing paperwork.
Yeah, yeah.
And I watched one Studio Ghibli.
Ghibli.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Sorry to everyone. Ghibli movie.
Maybe. I don't know. Could be Ghibli.
It was Totoro. That was the first one
I saw.
My
neighbor Totoro.
So I found a link to stream for free. And so I've just been like slowly working my way through it. And the animation is so beautiful.
It's so good.
I cried during Totoro. It was so good.
Yeah. So
did you say?
Whisper of the Heart. Which?
I don't know that one. I know like Spirited Away and like
Totoro
and stuff like that. But I don't think I know that one.
Right. So... and I'm associating Ghibli and Avatar because it's like anime is kind of is I'm a weeb.
Oh no, so you don't get out. We quit. It was nice knowing you. This is a weeb free zone.
Anime is an important part of my life.
Right on.
And so Avatar sort of skirts that line between Western and anime because it's not Japanese made. It's actually probably more Korean animated, actually. Mm-hmm. But it's still very clearly inspired by anime.
Yeah,
the art style is anime-ish. Mm-hmm. And the story is, like, weird and convoluted. But Ghibli movies are something that I think any person who's an anime fan should probably watch just every single one.
How many are there? Is it like, so will you explain Studio Ghibli to me?
Yes.
A person who's only seen Totoro.
Right. So they're like, I mean, they're a specific kind of anime movie because it's a studio that makes them.
So it's
them,
like a style of animation?
Well, it's a studio that makes these movies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's this group of people.
Gotcha.
Most of them are written and directed by Hayao Miyazaki.
I'm following now. Yeah,
some by some different directors, but it's mostly known for Miyazaki.
Okay.
And they've been making movies since freaking the 80s or 70s. Mm-hmm. It's been a while. Mm-hmm. And was their first one Grave of the Fireflies or Nausicaa? Nausicaa might have been before they were Studio Ghibli.
Okay.
But they tend to have like a very fantastical quality, very fantasy based, and usually have
Cat Bus. Cat Bus.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Use a lot of like Japanese like lore or mythology, and just have like these wild adventures, but are also usually, most of them have this story of like, hey, we should probably protect nature or we should probably protect art or, you know, and so it's very beautiful animation, all handmade. Yeah. But every once in a while, they'll do a movie that is not like fantasy based and it's just like, slice of life movie anime and it's really freaking good.
Cool.
So Whisper of the Heart is about this girl who is a writer, or she's like about to get into college or high school and she's a writer and she just likes reading books and I don't know what that was. She likes reading books and stuff and she keeps seeing that the books that she's checking out have like this guy's name on it. And I was like, oh, who's this guy or whatever?
As one would.
Yeah. And so she like eventually runs into him and like actually kind of hates him. But like they grow together. It's like a really cute love story.
Yeah.
But like out of all of the Studio Ghibli movies that are like wild and crazy and seem like acid trips and stuff.
Right.
Whisper of the Heart is so real and genuine, and like a lot of times we look at anime as like, oh, it's this big, wild, crazy, violent thing.
Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. But it doesn't. It doesn't.
I'm gonna get
have
crap
to be.
For that.
Yeah, yeah. No, Dragon Ball Z is like the epitome.
Should have ended. Oops. Oh, also yeah. Controversial. Podcast ends episode yeah. two. Stephanie just had bad opinions about anime.
Right, but there's also anime that have really nice, yeah. quaint stories.
Sure.
Just yeah. they don't have to be over the top and crazy, right. like Whisper of the Heart, but they can be over the top and crazy, yeah. like yeah. Avatar: The Last Airbender. Which is not really an anime, but like
it's good though.
It has excellent characters, mm-hmm. beautiful animation, mm-hmm. Well written. It's hilarious, and a great world that it's mm-hmm. set in with great premises and everything. And so, if you are a person that is our age, which is like early 20s, and you haven't watched Avatar: The Last Airbender. You probably should.
Yeah, I need to rewatch it because I did watch them mm-hmm. when they were like out, but I, mm-hmm. that was so long ago that like remembering like everything is not been yeah. like a thing for me. So it's just like I remember bits and pieces, but like I should really rewatch it. And then yeah. I've heard controversial things about Zora.
Hmm.
Is that what the spinoff Zora? No.
Korra.
Korra.
You're
close.
Fine.
It's close. Yeah, I've heard. Controversial thing. Well, not controversial, but like opposing.
It just wasn't as good.
I think
people are very strong about that.
Yeah.
I actually really like Korra.
Okay. As a character, I did too, but I never watched.
I think there was just a lot of divide about like the quality of the show
That's
and how
well
it was
heard.
Written
yeah.
and certain.
Mm-hmm.
And the ending made people very one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's really good.
Still
and people,
watch it?
Yeah, people okay. that it's either great. Didn't like the second season or didn't like how it ended, like, you're only looking at one or two bad aspects out of a wonderful series. So,
right on.
Watch the entire thing. Right. It's great. But another note about Last Airbender is that it's one of the ways that. Sable and I have like connected over the years
Aww.
And with our friends that we do cosplay with.
I forgot you did cosplay.
Yeah. Cosplay. No, we still do cosplay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You'll find us at Akon and at TNT this year, Tokyo and Tulsa. Yeah. And we will be doing skits, different skits.
You need to meet my friend who's really into, I will set up. An appointment or
yes.
date, whatever you're going to call it, with this friend. And
right.
You will.
Plug,
you
plug.
Will, both of you will weep each other out.
Yeah.
And I'll just.
Oh, yeah.
On the
They'll,
side and
they
watch.
Can definitely out weeb me. I'm not that much of a weeb, but like.
No, but you'll get. I feel
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
Get along very well.
Yeah. But plug, plug. Solstice Cosplay is the group of cosplayers that we're in, and we do skits and stuff.
Cosplay is so interesting to me because, like, I relate to the idea of, like, wanting to, like,
be a character,
mm-hmm. or, like, something other than, like, just a human.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that, but it's just, like, for me, there's so much, like, awesome DIY stuff, too, that goes
yeah.
into it, and I'm like, whoa, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, energy and effort for me.
Yes, it's expensive as
yes.
fuck, and it's very time-consuming.
Yeah.
So.
And, like, cons, music festivals give me so much anxiety, so let alone, like, a con. Those are pretty big, too.
Yeah, and you'd be dealing with, like,
weebs.
Yeah. No, yeah, but like
every time I've
not,
weeb on
not
podcast.
Just like like I'm a weeb, but I'm not
yeah.
a weeb. Like I took that strange
I'm
tone
glad
because
you said
it's,
that
yeah.
and I didn't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could see my facial expression right now.
Yeah,
you know.
I can't say this on air. We'll talk about something
right.
else later.
but like it's not okay to glomp people without their consent. If you don't know what glomping
glomp?
Is,
oh, no.
It's just like
oh, no.
attack hugging someone.
I didn't know that had a name for
yeah.
it. Yeah. I know what it is then.
Yeah.
Glomp?
Yeah.
Is there like, what is that derivative of? Just like the sound?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess. But like, don't.
yeah.
Like, you may love the character that someone is dressed as, but like that doesn't give you, they did not consent to you attacking them with your affection. Cosplay is not consent is a very common thing that's said out loud in the con scene. So
do you watch, I don't know, it's called JoJo.
Yeah, yeah, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Yeah. I don't.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Wow, a friend
you
of mine
are
is,
a weeb.
A friend of mine is very into it.
My
and
friend
like,
Haley, hi Haley, if you're listening, is trying to get me to watch it because it's like very music related and like there's
yes.
a Prince character, I think.
Yep.
And I even think she said a Bowie character.
Yeah.
So I'm
it's also gay as fuck.
I think that's why she likes it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very. She's got like a JoJo tattoo of like the Prince character.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
no.
need to meet Haley too. I'm going to throw, I don't even watch anime, but like I will throw an anime party and just have all my weeb friends.
Yeah, yeah.
All my friends are coming out as weebs lately. I didn't, my really good best friend who I met through work is a weeb too. And I was like, I didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, like, oh, you're gay? Yeah, that's cool. Wait, you're a weeb?
Whoa.
Slow down there.
Let's take it step by step, day by day.
Don't even get me started on the furries. anyways.
I like how we mentioned furries on both of our podcasts.
Yes.
Right on.
But anyways, The Last Airbender is how I got to, like, be great friends with the cosplay group that I'm in now. And they're, like,
so
my best friends. So, yes.
Right on.
Trying to like keep things going because I've only done two things.
It's okay. We can always do a part two.
But let's see, Black Mirror.
I haven't seen that, but I've heard. I've just heard.
Black Mirror is more of a recent thing. I think on the things that I've picked, it's more been like influential, like as I've grown up. But Black Mirror has been more influential.
Is Black Mirror the show that's kind of, I think it's been called like the modern day,
Twilight Zone?
Yeah, Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Right on. I've seen a few episodes of Twilight Zone.
So it's an anthology series, which means the episodes aren't connected to each other.
Yeah.
Like it's not a linear story.
Yeah.
It's just,
was Twilight Zone a linear story?
No, it was just different.
Okay.
Sort of, here's a short story, here's a different short story.
Right on.
That's what Black
kinda
Mirror
like
is.
Goosebumps.
Yeah. That too.
Yeah.
But, like, Black Mirror explores ideas in the future and technology, and it's usually very dystopian and very fucking dark.
Mm-hmm. I heard that, too. Yeah.
So there's – most episodes will end very badly.
Oh, that
like,
type of dark.
Yeah, like, what is the worst thing that can happen?
Oh, no.
That's how it ends.
That's interesting, though, because, like, most – things don't do that because, of course, like everyone wants a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. So
I'll have to check that out too.
Yeah. Right out the gate. Mm-hmm. First episode. It's
is that
like,
the one where like the pig is
fuck
being
the pig.
Fucked?
Yeah.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah. So it's like already they're
damn
like
furry propaganda.
If you can't handle this, then maybe you shouldn't be watching the rest of the show.
I was gonna make a joke about pig fucking, and then I was like,
I mean, that's pretty out there. But
I have a question. This is off topic.
Go for it.
What is pig for you in Spanish?
Puerco?
Okay. Because we say tunco.
Nah, I don't know that
and
one.
And then I just recently found out that marrano is like, you know, the bread that's a pig. Those are called maranitos.
Hmm.
So it's like little pigs. But marrano is actually, it's derived from Spain as a derogatory term towards Jewish people.
Hmm.
And I didn't know that.
It seems backwards because Jewish people don't eat pigs.
That was the, I think that's kind of,
the joke, okay.
But, like, it also means dirty in Spain. Like, at least we're in Salvador.
Yeah.
Tunco, I think, is very Salvadorian, and I think Guatemalan does it, too. But, yeah, we say tunco.
Puerco. Like pork.
Yeah, that would make sense, but we're from Salvador, so.
Right.
This can't make sense here.
Yeah. It's outside of the pig-fucking tangent, all right, would it be a fucking pig tangent?
yes.
Black Mirror is both, like I said, I'm very sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like super, yeah.
And that's the thing. I'm very optimistic about technology.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love technology. I would become one with the singularity if the
he would
opportunity
fuck a computer if he
itself.
Could.
Hey, man, I'm just saying.
Oh, no.
Like,
oh, no. What door did I
no,
open?
No. No. I have a fiance. We're okay.
Sable's listening.
But Black Mirror has now become, I think, a staple of science fiction that we should probably look into the ideas that Black Mirror is putting forth.
Gotcha.
Because it's very important. Mm-hmm. And we should probably deal with the fact that, like, people can make a fake social media craze that sort of forces the prime minister to fuck a pig. That's something that can happen nowadays. And
the Cheeto
we
as
don't
a president?
Have, we don't have, like, laws in place to sort of allow or stop fake information from getting to places or sort of things like this. And so that's just with the first episode, but then more stuff in all the other episodes. And so I actually have a series of pieces that which you can go and see at my recital on April 11th at the Jazz Lab at 7:30.
I think it'll be up before then.
Well, yeah, no.
Oh, April. No, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. April is my graduate composition recital, so that's, yeah. That,
grad's cool.
All of the things.
My dad is a trooper.
All of the things that I've been working on are culminating at this, so. But I have a series of pieces called Machinations that are essentially like Black Mirror, but with music.
Ooh, okay, April 11th. I will be there. I will make
and,
it there.
And so they're pieces that sort of explore the future and technology and humanity and how we might encounter that. So I have...
Do you... Go ahead. Do you listen to Laurie Anderson?
I don't.
Okay. Check her out.
Send me a list of things.
Okay. Likewise with the Ghibli films.
Yeah.
And else.
But, like, I have a rap song that's about androids trying to get to heaven. I have a choir piece that's from the point of view of humans having just destroyed themselves in a nuclear war. I have a different choir song that is a prayer from a post-apocalyptic society to a computer. And so these are ideas that in the future and technology that we should acknowledge about, well, just what's heading our way. And so Black Mirror is, like, heavily inspires those things.
Sweet. Sci-fi stuff.
Awesome. Okay.
I was just talking to my friend about this, how, like, someone was like, yeah, I like sci-fi, but I don't like when it gets political. And I was like, huh?
Huh?
Huh? What? What?
So.
Real.
That actually segues.
That wasn't a true story, but I was like, but that sci-fi.
Right.
It's in the name.
That segues perfectly into my next thing,
right,
which is.
I'm also a mind reader part-time.
Yeah. It's two books. Because I can't just pick one of these. So Ender's Game, which is a sci-fi book.
Okay.
And it was turned into a movie. I haven't seen the movie. And Catch-22, which is not a sci-fi book.
That was the same person who wrote, right? Oh, who wrote? Never mind.
Blanking. But Ender's Game, the author of Ender's Game, Orson Scott Card, I think he said in an interview that, like, fantasy and sci-fi are just formats through which we can tell stories and, like, put them through a different lens so that we can sort of refine that or have you look at it differently. Mm-hmm. And so Ender's Game is very, like, political. It's very, like, hey, what about children being in the military and, like, raised as kids to do military things.
Not that has ever happened on this earth.
Exactly. Hey, how about all those soldiers that can enlist in the army but can't drink? or vote. So stuff like that. Yeah. But then Catch-22, also about war, is a very humorous take on World War II, and it also sort of highlights the deficiencies in bureaucracy. And it's Catch-22 is important to me because it was the straw that broke the camel's back on my belief in religion.
Interesting.
In that,
very interesting.
I've told this story before on my podcast, but not on yours.
Hey.
So I was already kind of like questioning a lot of stuff mm-hmm. and just kind of dwelling in that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was raised Catholic as well.
Ouch.
And I was in the shower listening to the audiobook, and there's this scene where they're doing an air raid, and most of this book is humorous, but like every once in a while there's just like these little pictures of just like, whoa.
That was surreal.
Yeah. And so they're doing this air raid, and like shrapnel goes like through the plane, and there's a guy who the main character is like kind of trying to take care of because he was injured. And he like patches him up on the wound that he thinks is the wound. Mm. But the guy is still like, I'm cold. And so he unzips his flak suit and sees that his guts are just spilled out.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
And
he's like, well, I can't do anything about that. And at that point, like, it was just really fucked up. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, there's no Satan.
What?
It's just us.
Yeah.
It's just us. We're doing this to each other.
Okay, so I didn't talk about this on your podcast, which I should have. Like, this is really interesting because do you know who the Mountain Goats are?
Mm-mm.
They're like an indie band, indie folk band, I guess. Folk.
Mm-hmm.
John Darnielle is like all of his works, most of his works are super religious, like mm-hmm. tinted with religious metaphors and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he was giving an interview, I think it was an interview. He was talking about how he views the Bible as metaphorical. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's probably why I have an uncomfortable time with religion,
mm-hmm.
Especially in the church, just because to me it is metaphorical.
Yeah.
Like Satan being, you know, like the worst parts of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, God being godlike or trying to do good.
Yeah, exactly.
Like yeah.
Right on. But yeah.
I like how that just snapped.
Yeah, yeah.
In the shower, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was already questioning stuff,
mm-hmm.
but like that one just like, that's really fucked up. And like, that's not even say, like, that's a systematic, like World War II was just a systematic thing of countries and like alliances and war that is just, no, we all did this. There's no.
Well, like,
it's not just one guy being like, let's just make everyone evil. It's just like this system of people and governments and shit that's just like, hey, let's have young men throw bombs at each other and then like have their guts spill out and you can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
We got real dark.
I got real fucking dark.
Hi, my logo is very pastel. We need something brighter. Which is ironic because I'm like, I wear all black all the time because I'm edgy.
Okay. Actually,
I'm just messy. And black does stain. When people say black doesn't stain, I'm like, have you worn black pants before?
Yeah, no.
They do get dirty.
All right. A little bit lighter. Video games, Portal, and Fable. These two are together to me, mostly because they're humorous, but also because they are games that I don't stop replaying. Like, I can beat Portal 1 in a sitting. The music in both Portal 1 and 2 are, like, it's excellent, and mm-hmm. it's a... I want to make music for video games. That's why I'm a composer.
Yeah.
And Portal 2's soundtrack is a masterclass in video game music.
Okay. That... Interesting.
Certain musical cues happen whenever you bounce off of a faith plate or you are running on
sort of. Okay.
They're more just like,
I just learned that term.
Yeah, right.
So I was like, hey.
It's sort of
it
like
one thing.
Interjected tracks that are kind of always playing, and they like come in and out as you're doing different things. Or there's a track that plays in certain areas of the game, and if you get closer to a painting, you'll hear like a voice a little bit more.
Cool.
And so it's just little things in how interactive music can shape a game experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But it's also science fiction. You're with an AI, and it's very humorous. And speaking of humor, Fable. Fable is incredibly British, like so extremely British.
I have no idea what Fable is.
It's a original Xbox game, and it's fantasy. Okay. You play as this hero, and there's just like very funny but very heroic things. And so it's like it's Fable because you're kind of playing this hero of like legend.
Okay.
And you're doing very legendary things. And so it was one of the first RPGs that kind of had like the morality system where if you do good things as a hero, then you'll like eventually you'll have like a halo and butterflies flying around you.
Okay.
And if you do bad things, you'll grow horns and have like this like black red steam coming off of you.
Metaphor.
Yeah. And so hello, Satan again. and so both of those games kind of shape how, and the music in Fable is really, really good, but they kind of shape how I view music and games as an interactive medium because they're very fun games to play. And then on other video games, Transistor and Inside.
I think I heard Patrick talk about Transistor. But I can't remember.
Really?
Maybe not. Maybe
if he did, it was because of me, because I keep repping this game. Transistor is my favorite game ever. It's a kind of cyberpunk world and is mostly a love story. But also, the game is really fun to play. It's beautiful art, really cool game mechanics, beautiful story, and the music is so stupid good. And there's a thing in that, like, the main character that you play as, she's a singer, and she, like, lost the ability to speak because of the story of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, she couldn't, like, say things, which is really crucial.
Yeah,
but
singer,
her
yeah.
boyfriend is inside the sword that she's carrying.
Okay.
And so he's the one talking most of the game.
Oh.
And so, like, he's just saying things like, you know, I love you so much, Red. And, like, it's just, it's such a good.
That's so cute.
It's such a good story. And the soundtrack is wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's an indie game. So, like, you can play it on your phone.
Really? I'm going to download that right now.
Yeah. Well, it's not free. It's,
well, yeah.
It's, but
I figured.
It's really good. And then Inside, kind of on the different side of the spectrum, because the way that we judge, I say we, the way that people judge games is through, like, gameplay, visuals, and story. Inside is a flawless game. As
Inside?
In, yeah, okay. It doesn't have any flaws.
Bold statement by Santiago.
It's a puzzle platformer. There's no dialogue, no words, but it tells a story.
Cool.
And it's really beautiful and wonderful. It both does and doesn't have a soundtrack because sound design and music are the same thing in that game.
Okay, yeah. It's kind of how, like, we were just talking about this in Patrick's class, too, is, like, how horror right now is kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just play a synth note and, like, it'll actually sound cool. Just mess with the knobs and...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
See, like, that's what I do with my synth.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. But, I mean, Inside's soundtrack / sound design was all made through... Like, it was all played through the resonance of a human skull.
Wow.
so they had a skull, and they had the skull vibrate and recorded it. And so the whole thing is like through a skull. They had to like keep putting this like skull back together because like the teeth kept falling out and rattling and stuff. It's like it's and
was there a reason for it, or is it just because like why not?
The tone of the game explores sort of humanity and corporations and like life.
Okay.
And again, I say this from a game that has no dialogue or like words in it.
I feel like if you're recording through a skull, you don't need words.
Yeah.
That says enough.
But like you play as this little kid. And if you die, you get a very gruesome animation from however you die. If you fall off the edge or if a dog is mauling you or if you land on a spike, like, you done fucked up. That's your fault.
you done fucked up.
And everything in the world is trying to kill you. And it's just like...
So it's like real life.
Yeah, it's a three-hour game. It's flawless. It's has a wonderful, tone. And music, like, if you're going to play this game, use the headphones and, like, turn all the lights off. Mm-hmm. It's only 3 hours long.
Yeah.
Just,
I think the 3 hours sold me, and I was like, I can do that on a weekend.
But both Transistor and Inside, as opposed to Fable and Portal, mm-hmm. are examples of games that really break out of the medium of just video games. And are stories, and they are art. Inside is a work of art. Transistor is a work of art. And games should be acknowledged as such. Rather than just mindless entertainment, they are art.
Mm-hmm. They can be.
Yeah. So, that.
That's so funny. I was just talking about video games with a customer this morning. But, yeah, we were talking about shooting games because we were talking about gangs in Salvador. And yeah, we were just talking about shooting games, and like there's an argument that shooting games create shooters, which isn't true.
The thing about shooters is that like it provides you with an outlet,
which is
doing
like,
it in a virtual fashion so that you don't actually do it to real people.
Yeah, and that was like what we were both talking about. We're like, it's a great because like we were talking about intrusive thoughts too, and we're like, yeah, everyone has intrusive thoughts. So normal. But yeah, we're just talking about how like that can be an outlet for that instead of like, actually going out and shooting someone, you know?
But yeah, it's like I want to murder this kid in my school. Instead, I'm going to play Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
And like,
which is one of the better shooting
it's a fighting game. But like I'm going to play Mortal Kombat and just freaking like rip a dude's head off literally. And it's like that felt really visceral and awesome.
Which
and
that's where I feel get, better. Yeah. Which that's kind of where it can get kind of, you know, tricky. It's like because I mean the whole
dope, depends who you're exposing to that kind of violence so and at what age and blah, blah, blah.
We're just talking about, like, age exposure and, like, talking about it and, like, you know, just stuff like that. But that was off topic, but yeah.
Yeah. Right. Speaking of things that shouldn't be watched at a certain age. So the
Doom
next thing I'm going to talk about
lunch movie.
Is The Matrix / Ghost in the Shell. I don't know if this is true. You know how, like, memories that are so long ago, you don't really...
Yeah.
It's, like, seems distant enough that it's, like, a dream.
Every memory of mine ever.
I kind of remember seeing The Matrix in theaters, which is weird because I would have been 5.
Have you asked your parents about this? Or, like, do you know who you were with? You should ask and be like, is
but
this
like,
thing?
Yeah, they just had it in a theater in Venezuela. It, like... with subtitles. But I don't know why I remember that, but that it might not be true. It was a long time ago.
Call your parents right now in this moment and be like, Mom,
but,
Dad.
So The Matrix and Ghost in the Shell are... I actually only watched Ghost in the Shell like recently, like maybe 1 or 2 years ago.
Okay.
The Matrix is like a big part of my life from way back then. But they're... a combination of, one, cyberpunk, again. That's my jam.
I definitely need to have you make me a list of cyberpunk things, because I'm really interested in cyberpunk, because, like, cyberpunk.
Yeah. No. But it's, both of them are sort of, like, hyper-action-y and kind of violent, you know, guns and sure. kung fu and stuff.
Sure.
But they also, not even sneak in, they directly put it in your face, like, this is philosophy.
Right.
This is dense philosophy. What if you are not really in the real world, but it's in a simulation?
Mm-hmm.
What if, like, you can take control of the simulation and reach your fullest potential?
Mm-hmm.
Not so much in Ghost in the Shell, I'm talking about The Matrix, but Ghost in the Shell tackles the theme of, like, what is humanity?
Mm-hmm.
And if we put our brain inside of a machine that is a body, mm-hmm. is that still us?
Mm-hmm.
If we assimilate with a computer, is that still human?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sort of a philosophy hobbyist, okay. if that makes sense.
I found that philosophy podcast or your podcast, right? You're talking about
Philosophize
This, I think it's
yes.
what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't listen to that while driving, by the way.
Yeah.
I tried to and I was like,
if you're not in the right brain space, you'll just fall asleep.
Well, it's like there's too much going on when you're driving.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not.
And really dense ideas.
Yeah, none of this is like sinking in, so I should probably not do this.
Yeah.
While I'm driving.
And I'm planning to go back and just re-listen to all of it again.
Right on.
Just so that I can, like, get a little bit more of what I missed.
Sure.
But.
Which is, like, one of those things you have to do with philosophy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But The Matrix is both, like, and Ghost in the Shell are both, like, hey, here's sex and guns and explosions and stuff. Mm-hmm. Isn't that super cool?
Edgy.
But also, have you thought about the universe lately? Have you thought about the nature of your existence at all?
That sounds like teen boys in high school.
Yeah, no, it's great. That's me all the time. That's why my podcast is called Bit Death.
Right on.
And so it's like badass technology stuff with the philosophy crammed in. That's right my jam. Okay. Actual music things. I feel a musician.
Wait, before we transition to that, I feel like Quentin Tarantino, I'm going to get shit for this. Quentin Tarantino movies could be that, but they're not quite there yet. And you think?
I think the reason people love Quentin Tarantino movies are not the reason why Quentin Tarantino likes making the movies.
I think so too.
That people are like, oh yeah, it's super like gritty and edgy and like.
He's poking fun at that stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, it's like, it's hyper violent.
For a reason.
And he's like making a point with all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
that's why so many of his things are set in like Old West sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, hey, here's, you know, where morality could be dished out immediately.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, you have Django and the one that was in the cabin, but
yeah, I know.
And it's like it's hyper violent because they're sort of criticizing the thing.
Yeah, but yeah.
But yes, also, it is pretty funny to blow someone's brains out.
Sure.
So
I actually had a hard time watching his films for a while because, like, I'm bad with gore. I just, like, so squeamish, and I'm like, I can't do it. So it took me a while to watch Kill Bill. I still haven't even seen all of it.
Just,
like, first scene, like, people are already fighting in the living room, like, with swords and things.
Yeah.
Like, this is a lot. Like, there's a kid in there, and you're like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, it is a lot, but that's the point.
Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, I feel like Quentin Tarantino, if you want to go cyberpunk, do it.
Yeah.
I'd be interested.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I don't know
I feel
if that's
like
his style,
almost,
but,
I feel
like
he could do it, though.
Yeah.
He could do it.
So
every time I say Quentin Tarantino, I think of Squidward Tortellini, but like Quentin Tortellini.
That's pretty good.
you know that reference too.
Yeah.
That was a SpongeBob reference.
Yes, it is.
Great show. That should win an award. I'm telling you.
Maybe. if you include like before a certain season. Anyways, yes.
Ooh, she's fired. Pew, pew.
Actual music shit. Tool, Lateralis. I think that Chase and I kind of ramble on this a lot,
Hampton?
But like, yeah.
He was just posting about Tool on his Instagram.
well, like, there's people who are like Tool fans, or just
Tool
like
fans.
Well, yeah. Well, those Tool fans are the ones that are like, oh, it's like super heavy, blah blah blah. And it's like, I don't know if you understand the gravity of like the art that they're making here, because it's like mathematically intertwined with the concepts that they're tackling spiritually.
Yeah.
And like.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what turned me off for Tool for so long was like. That I like, it was like that dude bro thing that was Tool is metal as fuck, and I was like, ooh. And then like, I think it's not until like this year that I like sat down with it and I was like, oh
yeah,
past that,
yeah,
absolutely, yeah, great,
yeah.
Also, what's his name, the singer,
Maynard James Keenan, yeah,
great voice,
yeah,
great voice.
Oh yeah, he's like, he doesn't fit into like a voice.
No
qualification, because he both sings really high and really low. Mm-hmm. If you ever listen to Pussifer, like he sings really low in some Pussifer songs, and so it's like,
is that a, like an album?
It's his solo project.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I guess side project. There's more than him, but and of course he has like 12 side projects or something.
Of course, like goals, but also like
Yeah. So, Lateralis is my favorite Tool album. And it's the best Tool album, you plebs.
what does Chase have to say about that?
I mean, just...
I can hear him going in the back being like, Santiago, hold up, like, hold up.
No, but Anima is more... blah, blah, blah. No.
I hope he listens.
Lateralis is the best Tool album.
You plebs.
you plebs. because it takes all of the heady math... progressiveness and turns it into a spiritual experience.
Okay.
And Lateralis itself as a song, the song Lateralis, I mean, is like a masterpiece in like philosophy as well as music, or philosophy combined with music. But yeah, it preaches mindfulness to metal dude bros,
right? Which is like ironic, because like the metal dude bros would be like, oh, and you're just like, do you listen to the lyrics?
Because
like
overthinking, overanalyzing separates the body from the mind, withering my intuition, missing opportunities.
I don't know what to like, tell you.
You should. It's saying, hey, be more present in the moment.
Yeah.
Feed my will to feel this moment, urging me to cross the line, reaching out to embrace the random, reaching out to embrace whatever may come. I really want a Fibonacci spiral tattoo because of that. So,
do it.
Yeah, spiral
send pics
out.
When you do
keep
it.
Going.
Send pics when you do it. Yeah. This is a dumb question, but
go for it.
Does Tool have any relationship to a perfect circle?
Yeah. Maynard James Keenan is the lead singer of Perfect Circle.
Okay. All right. I thought so, because I listened to Perfect Circle before I listened to Tool.
Yeah.
I was a sad high schooler.
That's fine. So, Perfect Circle is great as well.
Yeah. The first song I listened to, what was it? It's like one of their most popular ones.
Is it The Package?
Mm-mm.
The Package is probably my favorite Perfect Circle song.
Let me look it up.
Because it's very, like... One, it's very straightforward, but it's also really, like, viscerally
good. Yeah, I
good.
Really like that about Tool, and I think that's hard to do, but they do it so well.
Mm-hmm.
The Outsider, of course.
Oh, yeah. Also that. but, yeah, I'm
He's
not...
got, like, multiple... Yeah, he does have a lot of projects then. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not, like, a metal dude, but Tool is great.
I think that... part of metal like turned me off for so long, because like the whole dude bro thing,
but exactly.
I think I'm like, as I'm getting older, I'm like, oh, give it another chance.
Yeah,
so I'm like slowly digging my way through it.
Yeah, people should go back to System of a Down, by the way. System of a Down is great.
See, I'm indifferent to System of a Down.
Like, every single one of their songs is like, I mean, you're all punk rock, fuck the system. So, like...
that's what they do.
Like, they literally have a song called Fuck the System.
I don't know. I don't know. I think just, like, musically, I'm like, yeah, okay.
It's very Armenian. Yeah. It's very, like, in your face.
Yeah, which, I mean, like, Black Flag's, like, one of my favorite bands. Yeah. So, like, you know, it's fine, but... I don't know. Maybe I just need to sit down with it again.
Maybe it's just because Rick Rubin produced it. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe. You're like, oh, System of a Down is a little too mainstream for me.
I think that actually, I'm such a douche that I think that's what it is.
Could be. System of a Down. System of a Down is great, though.
Okay.
Just letting you
know. Do they have more obscure stuff?
too obscure.
Also, what's that song? I can't believe I can't remember the song that, like, da-dun, da-da-da-da. I'm just trying to sing it. It's on like GarageBand. Not GarageBand, Rock Band. GarageBand.
Chop Suey,
yeah,
probably.
I think I'm just tired of hearing that too.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's pretty memeable. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Drowning Pool.
Yeah, that. Yeah, but.
Down with the Sickness.
Who's, that's like, yeah.
Who's I always lumped them together. You know. I don't know.
Anyways.
I think I had a therapist who listened to Drowning Pool.
That?
He's cool. He's cool dude. Also listened to like punk stuff like Ignite and I don't know. Just like the more melodic punk stuff.
Right.
I thought it was funny.
But
yeah.
Next
casually
music thing.
My therapist.
Yeah. I couldn't find a segue off of that, so instead...
When I was in therapy, I'm just kidding.
The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me by Brand New. In fact, you literally just crammed in a segue
into
material. It's like,
brand
oh,
new.
Therapy.
Brand New.
Brand New.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Law Dispute and Brand New were pretty big when I was like in... I want to say middle school, but I honestly can't remember.
Yeah.
That kind of like, is Brand New emo? Would that be considered emo?
Yeah.
Okay.
But not in...
Like pop punk emo.
Early stuff was pop punk, but the thing about Brand New is that every single album they had grown like leaps and bounds.
I think Chase likes their Brand New thing, like a Brand New album, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chase, but I was like, what? I was confused by it. But
yeah,
I probably need to listen again.
Probably Deja Entendu because it's French title, but no, Deja Entendu is how people pronounce it.
Don't they have an album with like a skeleton on it and like a little kid at the door? Or is that
That's Devil and God. Oh. So Devil and God is the best Brand New album. Plebs. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if there's
take
enough.
Take a shot every time.
I don't know if there's
plebs.
Enough Brand New fans arguing like near me to like make that a pleb statement, but
you can just get on Tumblr and
I'm sure.
Because everyone is listening to Brand New when I was on Tumblr.
Yeah. Oh.
Which was 2009? Actually, 2000. I graduated high school 16. So, like, 2010 to 2016 that time?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, 2009, I guess, a little later.
But Devil and God is a masterpiece in, like, there's a lot of Christian elements. There's a lot of just power in the lyrics. I mean,
yeah,
Jesse Lacey is one of the best like lyricists.
Yeah,
probably my favorite lyricist. But like the most like to correct a quote from a different podcast of mine that you will not have heard, but is that I had been talking to Caleb Starr about
I listened to part of the podcast
about handcuffs.
Okay, like the actual like physical
the song Handcuffs on Devil and God. And Handcuffs was actually written by their lead guitarist Vin Accardi, not Jesse Lacey. But still, the most, like, emo lyric to come out of Brand New, or anything ever, to be honest, is, I'd drown all these crying babies if I knew that their mothers wouldn't cry. I'd hold them down and I'd squeeze real soft and let a piece of myself die. That is the most emo thing. Like,
my association with Brand New is a bunch of like sad Tumblr girls.
Yes.
Like reblogging like quotes on like the beach or whatever. So
yeah. And
that's not a bad thing.
Right. Well, what is a bad thing is that Jesse Lacey earlier in his career would solicit nude images from multiple underage girls, and that's pretty fucked up.
But the lyrics are good.
But the fact of the matter is that he did as much as he could at the time to, like, he had already gone over this with his wife and his, like, gone to therapy and gotten over all this stuff. And so, I don't know. I forgive him, if that makes sense. Like,
sure.
There's a point where, like, SJW culture doesn't want to forgive at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that he's done what he needed to do mm-hmm. to atone for the thing that he did.
I think that's ultimately up to the people that were involved.
Right.
And they don't have to forgive.
Yeah,
him,
they don't.
You know?
But
I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think he
How do you go to therapy for that? Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how do you be that therapist, you know?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, he did the thing.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah.
He feels bad about it. He's done everything he can
sure.
to try and atone for it.
Sure.
Could he do more? Maybe. But, like...
Probably, yeah.
Still.
There can always be more done, but...
But that album, if you're ever feeling like you want to cry and smash shit...
So always.
That is... I mean, yeah, just filled with... Always look up the lyrics, because the lyrics is the best part.
I think with Brand New, yeah.
But it's also just very screamy and powerful. Like, the music isn't all that complex.
There is, like, a moment where, like, pop punk was... It wasn't, like, Blink-182. It was, like, poetry being recited over noise and, like, just riff. And, like,
La Dispute.
La Dispute, which I try to get into them. I wasn't that successful, but there are some tracks that, like, I absolutely loved. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I like the idea of like screaming poetry over over just noise. So I was like, right on. I respect this. Yeah.
Yeah. Same with me. I never got into
pop punk.
I never got into La Dispute, but like I know I know what they do. yeah. Brand New is my second favorite band ever.
Followed only
behind Radiohead.
I love that I knew that. You might like Wand in that case. We talked about Wand, I think, briefly on mine. My episode that I did with you. But Wand has been taking a kind of more... I don't know enough Radiohead to, like, agree or disagree.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been the commentary that they're sounding more, like, more artsy Radiohead. Which,
that's fine.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's a bad
thing. Yeah, right.
I'm just saying that I think that's what they've been generally been discussed. Or, like, if Radiohead and Velvet Underground had a band... I feel like that's what Wand's kind of doing.
Yeah.
You might like them. Check them out. They have a new album coming out in March, I think.
Cool.
I think that'll be the most Radiohead-y album. I don't know.
Radiohead. In Rainbows is my favorite album. I'm not confident enough to say it's their best album because that's disputed enough. And there are enough Radiohead fans to, like,
oh, wait, let me pull that
definitely...
I should probably wait afterwards, but I'm going to pull it up right now.
Right. but, I mean, yeah, most people say, like, OK Computer or Kid A is their best album, which I don't know why it is that I don't get OK Computer as much. Like, Radiohead's my favorite band. I love all of their music. But, like, I don't see why OK Computer is their best album.
It's for plebs.
it's kind of normie. But
that,
you know,
that's something a Radiohead fan would say.
But In Rainbows is where Radiohead got the most Radiohead.
Okay. Yeah.
As in, like, they were basically past the peak of their height of their like fame.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, and they had just gotten out of, wow.
That's some odd bass.
If you didn't hear that, well, we did a good job of cutting it out.
That's what it was.
Then I think Radiohead had just gotten out of their record label.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so with In Rainbows, they self-released it and did, I think they were one of the first to do Pay What You Want. And they just made the most, like, Radiohead album. Like, if you took Radiohead and just distilled it into a pure form, I think that's what In Rainbows was. It's parts, like, super kind of grungy rock and roll, like their early stuff, and parts, you know, really ethereal, electronic-sounding stuff. And so it's a combination of all of that. And so I think it's also around the time that I got into Radiohead. And so it's probably there's probably something about that, that like your favorite album of a band is probably the one that was most recent whenever you were getting into them.
Yeah, I understand, yeah.
And so that's probably why In Rainbows is my favorite. But, I mean, it's just a masterpiece. Like,
just playing
opening up with 15 Step, ending with Videotape, having a second, like, album with B-sides that sound still just like the rest of In Rainbows. And it's just pure Radiohead. It's
distilled Radiohead.
And I mean,
that should be your cover Radiohead band. cover band that covers Radiohead. Radiohead cover band.
I would totally do that because, Radiohead. Like,
hey, if on you my need a keyboard player or a bass player. I'm not that great of a bass player, but
I do need a keyboard player, but
here's my card.
I don't know if you have like the Ultimate Guitar app on your phone or something. Like, you always just look up chords because it's easiest to learn songs that way. But like most of favorites on my phone are Radiohead. And so I could probably actually do a Radiohead cover band.
They've got enough stuff too.
Yeah, exactly. And like already on my own set lists, like I'll do a lot of my songs, maybe like a song that more people would know, and then I'll always include a Radiohead song, and usually always include a brand new song.
Right on.
But like Radiohead, like Thom Yorke shaped my voice.
I've never heard you sing, so
so I use a lot of falsetto at times, and like heavy falsetto is nice. Thom Yorke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
who did you have when you were here?
Huh?
You did production. Oh, I thought. Did you take lessons here? ACM?
Yeah. I took voice lessons with three different teachers, actually, three different semesters. I had Sephra, and then Than, and then Chad.
Cool. Okay.
They're going to, Shiny Toy Gun's going to be playing a festival soon. That kind of weird. They're playing a festival in Long Beach, and like Yaz is headlining it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But anyways, Chad Petrie. But yeah, so another band that shaped my voice is Death Cab for Cutie, but they didn't make my list.
Did you talk about that with Caleb on yours? Because I only listened to a part of it.
Right, yes. Caleb,
are you
and
going
I
to the Criterion show?
To the what?
Criterion show. It's at the Criterion, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm poor.
It's fair. Totally fair.
But
they should work a deal with ACM where we get, like, discounted.
Right. Things.
Criterion, hello.
But my voice is some parts Ben Gibbard, some parts Thom Yorke, some parts Jesse Lacey. And that's just
I need to listen to you sing. Play a gig now. Yeah.
Were we going to do that? Should I play a song on your podcast?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Whenever you want to.
Yeah. So now that I'm done with my list of things.
Last thing? Okay.
Yes. And that is my top thing. Radiohead in Rainbows is sort of the pinnacle of, like, what I want to be as an artist.
Okay, this is going to move. This is definitely going to get me revoke my musician card revoked. He did Gorilla stuff too, right?
No, that's Damon Albarn.
I always get them confused. I don't even know why.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Okay. We'll probably edit that out.
British. No, I understand. Like, very British.
They're both, like, really innovative.
And popular, like, and innovative. So it's understandable. But Blur is very different from Radiohead.
Blur, yeah, I know. Blur and Pulp and all that stuff.
Yeah. Anyways. Here's Wonderwall. No.
Here's Wonderwall as Santiago. I will not play Wonderwall. Guitar. I would not stop you.
But yeah. Is there anything? How do you end your podcast? Do the thing.
We don't really do a thing. I just ask, is this it?
Yeah, okay.
All right, I guess this is it.
Okay.
I should probably come up with an ending, but yeah. Hey. Did you already plug your stuff?
I haven't.
Okay, we should probably plug your stuff.
Yes, okay. I'm Santiago Ramones. You can find, I have like my... I have so many episodes of the podcast that I'm so used to doing the spiel. So let me just
You should just send me a little
this.
MP3 file over and I'll attach it or whatever.
Right. My name is Santiago Ramones. You could find all of my things on my website, santiagoramones.com. I make music. You can download my demo, Songs with Words, or pay for it, because that's through my Bandcamp, or you can listen to my composery stuff that's on my SoundCloud. I haven't updated it as much, but you can also find live streams, or what were once live streams, of the Power Cycle concerts on my website on the music page. And I also have a podcast. It's called Bit Depth. Stephanie will have been on it, has already been on it. Whatever future past tense need things need to be.
Mine might come out before yours.
Yeah. Well,
we totally
will
not
be.
Just sit down for 6 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, record.
Right. Well, yes. And you can download Bit Depth. You could actually just like type Santiago Ramones into the podcast app and Bit Depth will come up.
Cool.
Also,
all your links are on your website.
Yep. Everything is through my website, which is, I try to make it as simple as possible. Just click on things. Click on everything. You can find that podcast on most of the usual places.
Except
on
for Spotify.
Spotify is being a bitch. So, but yeah.
Sponsor us, Spotify. After we just called you a bitch.
Yeah.
Why not?
That's it.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. Yeah. Thank you. And thank you guys for the feedback. Thanks for the patience. We're figuring it out.
Right. Yeah. That's the process.
That is the process.
All right. Goodbye.
Thanks for being on the show, Santiago.
Thank you for having me.